If you would take your Bibles this morning and turn to Romans chapter 12, and if you would like, go ahead and mark that. We'll be in Romans 12 here for the next 3 weeks as we look at this chapter together. Do you have dreams? Different kinds of dreams? Do you remember some of your dreams? Like, I remember my earliest dream that I can remember. I was a little guy. I was less than 5 years old because we moved about that time in my life. And I lived in a community that was really becoming more crime-laden. I remember having this ongoing dream that I was in the backyard playing and there was somebody breaking in to our garage. And I don't know how many nights in a row I had this dream. At 4 years old, it probably seemed like a million nights in a row. And each night I'd get closer and closer and I'd wake up right before whoever it was would reveal himself. I remember that dream so vividly. And then as I grew older, I had different kinds of dreams. I remember being an elementary age kid out playing basketball at the basketball hoop in my garage and pretending that I was hitting the game-winning shot for the NBA championship. And I had to shoot the ball, and if I missed, it was okay because I was fouled. And I could go to the free throw line, and I could win it from the free throw line if I missed. My brothers and I would play baseball, and we would imagine all kinds of things as we played. I got to college and really started to get into a place where I was understanding about this relationship with God. And then I developed this new dream, a dream that I would find my purpose and that I would live out a purpose and a relationship with Christ and whatever that looked like. Now I had my own ideas of what that was going to look like. It was going to involve teaching or coaching or, again, something to do with sports. But I had a dream. And then as I continued on in ministry, my dream got bigger. I had learned about this relationship with Christ, and I had seen God do these amazing things in my life. And I had this dream that those around me would find their purpose in Christ. And those people that I interacted with every day would discover this purpose and this excitement, this love for serving Jesus and fulfillment in this life. This morning I'm gonna ask you, are you willing to really put yourself in a position to live for God? As we talk about gospel urgency and as we spend the month of January talking about that, we need to come to a place in our lives where we truly offer ourselves to God for His purpose. Do we offer ourselves to Him, all that we are for Him? Our worship is not something that we do for an hour on Sunday morning. Because if we just spend an hour on Sunday morning, if that is the totality of our worship, then our worship might end up looking more like this than what it's supposed to.
Sing of your love on Sundays. Only sing of your love on Sundays. I will sing of your love on Sundays. Then this feeling is gone by Monday.
I surrender some. I surrender. Don't mean it.
If we are not careful, our worship becomes that. We need to live daily, sacrificially, in worship of our God. And Paul gives some insight into this in today's passage, where he says to present your body, renew your mind, humble your heart, and exercise your faith. And so let's read that together in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think is so to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. See, the most important thing that we can give to God, the most important thing we can offer to God, is ourselves. Sometimes we can, whether we mean it or not, give him empty worship, and he's asking for ourselves. And we do this as by the mercies of God, by his mercies. We need to understand who we are before God. Because sometimes we're like the song, we exalt ourselves. We understand who we are before God. We are sinners deserving of death. That's who we are before God. And God could have disowned us. God could have said, I want nothing to do with you. You no good, lousy sinner. He could have done that. But instead of doing that, instead of God saying, go away, I want nothing to do with you, he did something different. He chose us. He adopted us. He redeemed us, and he sealed us with as his very own. He is our merciful Savior. And as he is our Savior, our priority ought to be to give ourselves as a worship and an offering and as a sacrifice back to him. We have this great salvation. And God's plan is for us to live out this salvation in everything that we do. First, we offer ourselves to God and we serve other people. See, in the Old Testament, they had these sacrifices, and they would take an animal and they would cut the animal up and they would put it on the altar and offer it as a sacrifice. And this animal gave everything. It gave its life as a sacrifice. And then we had Jesus who came and walked on the earth, and Jesus went to a cross and he offered himself as the ultimate sacrifice. The Old Testament sacrifices mean nothing anymore because Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice on that cross for our sin. And so we no longer have to offer these other sacrifices. And this is the reason that we're asked to give of ourselves. It says we are to present ourselves not as another dead sacrifice. We no longer have to die as a sacrifice. He says to give ourselves as a living sacrifice. As a living sacrifice, this is your spiritual act of worship. Sometimes I'll hear people say, if I was put in a position, I would die for Jesus. And as I've read Scripture, there's not a lot of places in Scripture it says, I call on you to die for me. There's a lot of places in Scripture where Jesus says, and God says, I want you to live for me. To live for me every single day, to present your body, your whole self to him. Your whole self, to give it all to him. Instead, too many of us are like the words of Chuck Swindoll that says, I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to explode my soul or disturb my sleep, but just enough to equal a cup of warm milk or a snooze in the sunshine. I don't want enough of him to make me love a black man or pick beets with a migrant. I want ecstasy, not transformation. I want the warmth of the womb, not a new birth. I want a pound of the eternal in a paper sack. I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Instead, God's saying, look, give me everything. Humble your heart. Give me everything that you have. That you are no longer relevant, but God, I'm the one that's relevant in your life. See, Paul says that true worship is offering this acceptable sacrifice. So we can come to a worship service and we can appear to worship and we can go through the motions of worship. But if we're really going to have worship in our life, it is a sacrifice, as a response to God's love. Present your bodies, your whole self. Have you ever done the hokey pokey? Put your right arm in, take your right arm out, put your right arm in and you shake it all about, do the hokey pokey and you... All right, there you go. All right, so you do this song and then you get to the end of the song and it says what? You put your whole self in and your whole self out. Whole self in and whole self out. We do this idea that this hokey pokey, right? But God's not asking us to put an arm in and an arm out, or a leg in or a leg out. God is saying, I want all of you to put your whole self in. This is our sacrifice of worship. And we are asked to give something in worship, and we're used to coming to church prepared to give something in worship. For many of us, it's an offering, right? We come and we give an offering, and that's part of our worship, and we're used to doing that. So we have the offering plates passed in, and you can write a check or put some money in one of those nice little envelopes when that comes by, and you give something. Or some of you sit at home at your computer and you just do it online now, because you don't have to actually write checks anymore, because that's what, you know, old people do. You don't do that stuff anymore, right? But you have this idea of offering, and it represents an acknowledgement of God's blessing in our life. God has given something to us, and we want to give something back. However, we need to really have some help with the idea of an offering is more than just that. An offering is when we give our entire selves, we put our whole selves in, and we say, God, everything is yours. Not just my finances, not just my time, not just this and this, but we give everything to Him. And so we come to a worship service at a time like this. We come into worship. Think about what we bring to God and what we expect as we are here in worship. So did you come to service today prepared to give your whole self to God? Did you bring your sins today? And say, when I come in the presence of God, I want to confess my sins and lay them at the altar of Jesus and receive His forgiveness. Did you bring your burdens today, those anxieties that you have, the things you dispelled in your life, and say, I came into the presence of God in worship, and I am willing to give those to God and ask Him to take those from me? Did you bring your frustrations and your depressions and your boredom, the things that preoccupy you? Did you bring all these distractions to worship today and say, okay, I'm laying them down and I'm going to get rid of them so I can focus on who He is? Did we come giving everything to God and humbly offering ourselves in obedience to Him? Did you come this morning prepared to hear from God? Did you come this morning prepared to see God do something in your life? Did you come this morning prepared to worship? See, I'm going to say something that might be a little bold, but I dare say that we have not truly worshiped, and I have not truly worshiped, if I have not given everything to God. If I am holding something back, then I am missing out on true worship. Worship is a total commitment of the total person to the total life of Christ. Anything less is not genuine worship. So are you willing to give you to God? Are you willing to give you to God today and every single day? Well, how do we do this? In verse 2 it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. conforming to the world, renewing of your mind. In Vacation Bible School, I share the plan of salvation with every child. It's one of my favorite things about Vacation Bible School. I sit down on Thursdays and I do the Wordless Book, and I get to share with these kids. And some of the kids understand sin, and some don't have a good grasp of sin, and some have a good grasp of sin of, you know, other people's sin. But you talk to these kids, and in that presentation, as I share the gospel with these kids, I share with them that Christ desires to make them new. A new creation. God wants to make them new, and it's an exciting thing. And in verse 2 says, in order to be changed, we can no longer conform to the world, but we must be transformed. We have to be different. We have to be different. We see this, you know, every day in our culture. We see Christians and we see churches struggle with this conforming versus transforming. And we see in our culture where the world has changed, and we live in an ever-changing world where there are things that used to be wrong that are now right, and there's things that used to be right that are now wrong, and our world is ever-changing. And the scary thing is we see our churches changing as well. And we see our churches adapting to culture and conforming to culture instead of seeing godly people continuing every day being transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, we have to recognize and deal with sin. We have to stop overlooking sin in our own life and pretending it's not there. We have to stop overlooking sin in the lives of those around us and pretending it's not there. We have to admit when things are wrong and repent of our sin and turn to Him. And I do not understand why in some churches we debate these things. If God's Word is God's Word, it is always true and always will be true. And now, for some of us, we can say that's easy because there's big sins in our culture that we can just say, look, I have no problem doing that. But let's talk a little more in depth about what this means to not conform to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, the world says to look at me. And God says that He wants us to be transformed and look like Him. See, the conform is to say, what do I get out of this? To be transformed is to say, what can I give to this? See, to conform is to say, that person hurt me. To be transformed is to say that I love that person even though they may have hurt me. To conform is to say, you know what, I don't really like those people, so I'm not going to be around them. To be transformed is to say, I love those people because Jesus loved them, and Jesus hung around with people He didn't like often, and I'm probably one of those people. He hung around people He didn't like. I want to be around those people. That's to be transformed. To conform is to say that I am the most important thing in the universe, and this is all about me, and to live my life that way. To be transformed is to say, this is all about God and all about His kingdom. See, to conform to the world is to set your schedule around your work, your family, and your recreation, and you set your schedule all around that. To be transformed is to say that all of my schedule belongs to Jesus, and I'm going to schedule my life in such a way that I'm going to be available and to be used by Him. See the difference in conforming to the world and being transformed. It says, by the renewing of your mind. To conform is to say that everyone is okay. To conform to the world is saying, look, all religions are good and everyone is okay, and so I don't need to bother anybody with the gospel because we're all okay. And to be transformed is to understand that we need Jesus. And apart from Jesus, we're destined for eternity in hell. A transformed life gives us new vision and it gives us new purpose. So we seek God's will for our life. This passage says you will find and improve God's will for your life by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind. See, sometimes I see people transformed when they come to Christ instantly. You see those people, they come in and their life instantly changes. Sometimes I see people come to Christ and it gradually changes as the transformation happens. But here's what always happens. Transformation is a lifetime thing. It's not something we ever get to the point where you say, transformed, I'm good to go, no more. I don't have to worry about it, I'm totally... It's a lifetime thing as we live in this transformation. And as you live in this transformation, then you find God's will for your life. It comes about by the renewing of your mind. It's not something that we do on our own. It's not something we decide, I'm going to be transformed today. But it's what God does in us. It's what God does as we seek transformation, as we pursue transformation, as we pursue this relationship with Him. And then by God's power, He does this in our lives. See, the Christian needs to cry out to the Lord saying, change me to the core. Enable me to know the truths of your word and believe in them sincerely. God, write the laws, your laws upon my heart. And let me see the world as you see the world. Let me have that transformation be genuine in my life, lasting, and it bring glory to you in all that I do. See, finding God's will comes in living a changed life and pursuing Him. I often tell people, as people come to me and they say, I want to find God's will for my life, I say, if you want to find God's will for your life, stop trying to find God's will for your life. If you want to find God's will for your life, stop pursuing God's will for your life and pursue God. If you seek God with all of your heart, if you spend time reading God's word and praying sincere prayer and spend time around other believers, if you spend time pursuing God, you will find God's will for your life. You will find it if you seek Him. So I remember being about 40 years old, struggling with a crisis of calling in my life. See, I was about to be an old youth pastor because at that time I thought 40 was old. Now that I'm past that a little bit, I realize it wasn't as old as I thought. And I was struggling with God's will for my life. And so I'm elk hunting and I'm sitting on this rock and I'm just having this conversation with God. And God pointed out something to me in a almost an audible voice, in a real way that just changed my entire life. And God said to me, He says, I called you to invest yourself in the lives of people for my sake. You let me take care of what that looks like. And it just freed me. Because my calling was simply to make disciples. That was my calling. It didn't matter if I was a youth pastor or if I'm a senior pastor or if I go on a mission field or if I decide that I'm going to go work in a warehouse or I'm going to be a door greeter at Walmart. It doesn't make any difference. It was so freeing that my calling before God was to go and make disciples. See, that's what it's about. The hokey pokey, not what it's all about. Making disciples, the Great Commission, that's what it's about. And so today, this last verse, humble yourself before God. Through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. There are people that struggle with self-esteem. And there are some people that I know that don't struggle so much at all with self-esteem. They have plenty. In either case, we need to remember where our worth comes from. There is not a single person here who saved yourself. There's not a single person here who created themselves. There's not a single person here as you walk with the Lord that has changed your own life. There's not a single person here who serves on your own strength. We need to humble ourselves before Him. Humility before God and before others, remembering that this is about Him. I'm no better than you. You're no better than me. And so let's quit trying to play this game with God and humbly serve Him. And this verse says we do this by faith. Trusting God to take every step in our life as we offer ourselves in worship to Him, sacrificially living for Him, we take each step by faith. In the 1890s, there was a man by the name of Blondin, and Blondin was a tightrope walker, and he stretched a tightrope across the Niagara Falls. And he would get out there and he would do some different tricks and push a wheelbarrow and do different things. And there were people that were watching him and they would be cheering him on, saying, Blondin, you are great. And they'd be applauding him. And then Blondin says, and depending which version of the story is accurate, there's a couple versions of the story. Either he asked him to get in the wheelbarrow or climb on his back. But either way, he said, I'm going to walk across this tightrope. Who's going with me? And the crowd got really quiet. And one person got on and walked across a tightrope with him. One person trusted. See, are we like the thousands or are we like the one? Are we the people that sit in church and cheer God on? God, I know you can do everything. God, you are all powerful. God, whatever you, wherever you lead, I'll go. And then God says, okay, perfect, come. And you're like, now, wait a minute, God. I didn't know you meant that. Are we like the ones that are cheering? Are we like the one who is going? See, do we have enough faith in Jesus to offer ourselves to him and to join him wherever he may lead us to go? So I wonder if many don't serve because they don't have enough faith. I wonder if there are people who refuse to forgive because they don't have enough faith. I wonder if there are those who don't share the gospel because they don't have enough faith. I get not having faith in yourself. I have no faith in me. But I don't understand why we don't have faith in the creator of the universe who sacrificed himself on a cross for our sins, who has given everything for us and says, come and follow me. Do we have that kind of faith? So I'm going to ask you this morning, are you ready to put your whole life into the arms of God? Are you ready to commit all of you are to Jesus? Commitment is the giving all of that we know and all that we are to him. Anything less than total commitment is not what God's asking of us. And honestly, it's unacceptable worship if we're not willing to give it all. If we want a heart for our world, then we must be willing to offer ourselves. See, the gospel has to become more than just what we believe. The gospel has to become who we are. Not just what we believe, it's who we are. We can pray. We challenge you to pray, and you should pray for those that are lost. Pray for people. We should do that. We've studied a passage that says how beautiful are the feet who bring the good news. And I'm thankful for the feet that bring the good news. But we will never be people who bring good news if we are not transformed by the gospel of Jesus, by the renewing of our mind and seeking him. And that's not something we do once and say we're good. It's something we do every day. Every day in our life, I'm following you. We make that choice. If you are here this morning, and again, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, let this be the morning you come to know him. If you are here this morning and you have things you are holding back in worship, if you have sin in your life, if you have discouragements, frustrations, if you have things in your life that is keeping you from worship, this morning, lay them down. Bring yourself to worship. Wherever you are in this relationship, this journey with Jesus, give yourself to him.